Wiley Publishing, in association with Imagine That Studios and Binary Studios, presents.
Do a podcast?
Do you want to do a podcast, Serena?
Okay.
Okay.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast. Going above and beyond, Podcasting for Dummies, with your hosts, T. Morris and Chuck Tomasi.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, episode 6, with me, Chuck Tomasi from sunny Phoenix, Arizona, and joining me all the way across the country is none other than...
Yo, it's T. Morris. How are you, everybody?
He gets his name first on the book. I don't know why, but we'll go with that.
It's all on now. But you know, that's the thing, Chuck. One day I'm going to be one take Tomasi, just like you, right? Right? Am I right? Am I
if
right?
You're not watching the live stream, you missed the fun. It's like take 3 of this intro.
Trust me, when I send the video to Chuck to post, trust me, it's gonna have that intro. It's gonna have that intro. The magic of being live, baby.
That's Chuck. The fun.
Yes, we just had a pretty engaging podcast concerning the rights to music and things like that. So what are we doing today? I'm following your lead on this. So hold me closer, Tiny Dancer, and talk to me. What are we doing today?
We're giving the editorial comment about chapter 1 in the book.
Okay.
This is an idea we came up with when we said, hey, T, are we going to do another season of PFD Companion Podcast? And we said, yeah, I mean, we've done the mic review thing every seasons 1, 2, and 3. We've done a number of things new. We've done some things repeated that were updated. And I thought, let's take this in a different direction. Because, you know, when you watch a movie and you've got the director's commentary that you can turn on, that's what I wanted to do. We're not going to read the book to you and comment on it as we go.
No, we're not going to do that.
But there were a number of things we wanted to say in the book that may have gotten edited out, or we just didn't have the room for them. We went, okay, save that for the podcast. Yeah, that's what we... And a lot of things changed either during the editing process or after it hit the shelves, and we can bring you that up-to-date content here as well.
We're also taking your questions live on stream. So whenever we are putting together the episodes for this season, you can always join the fun at twitch.tv/theTMonster. If you have questions, we will go on ahead and we will gladly take them and address them here on the stream as well as in the podcast. So make sure that when you give us a follow, that you also click notifications so that when we go live on the Just Chatting directory with Podcasting for Dummies, you can bring your questions about your podcast here. We love doing that live. So since we're talking about chapter 1, it is something that has changed dramatically in deciding, do you want to do a podcast, is do I want to bring in the live element? And I would say that, you know, when you're getting the scoop on podcasting, that when we first started doing this, Chuck has been involved in Podcasting for Dummies since 2007, correct?
You approached me in 7. Yes, the book came out in 8. Yep.
And yeah, I've been in, and this is why I get top billing.
Finders? I don't know.
Yeah. I get top billing because I've been involved since the first edition. And that came out like in 05, 06, in 2005, 2006. I mean, this is when nobody knew what we were doing. Nobody knew what was going on. And it was me along with a guy named Evo Terra. So we have had a chance to watch podcasting evolve, not just as a term, but also as a medium. Because even Chuck and I we came to grips with something in this book, which is the way you define a podcast.
Yes.
That's probably been the toughest thing for us to grapple with. We define a podcast. We ourselves define a podcast as having an RSS feed. That's the line in the sand that we're drawing. That's the hill we're going to die on. That being said, though, if you want to decide, hey, I want to get into podcasting, it's the way people define a podcast and the way people are podcasting. Some people do it the way Chuck and I do, where we have a live stream and we have a podcast feed. There are some people that do just a YouTube channel, or they will do just a Twitch channel, and that's their podcast. And it's them going on the Just Chatting directory. I think the way it has changed the most is the way streaming and podcasting have kind of come together. And it's now this the strange union of both audio and video and live audience interaction and RSS feeds. And it's really been fascinating. I mean, would you agree, Chuck? Or would you, I mean, what, yeah, what do you think has been the when you first start decide, I want to find out more about podcasting, where do you even begin? Apart from our book,
Google searching.
Yeah, there.
That's where I start with it. Pretty much anything I don't know anything about is, hey, what right. comes up on, you know, topic X, Y, or Z, whether it's technical or philosophical or whatever. That's where I often go, is just go to a search and see what comes up, and you get some notable articles and maybe some publications. But you were mentioning a number. I've got people at work that refer to my webinars as podcasts, and you know what? Frankly, I just let it go now. So I'm not going to, you know, get all pedantic on them and go, well, you know, I don't really have an RSS feed for that. It's broadcast live on YouTube.
It doesn't have an RSS feed. Yeah, I'm sorry. You're just a podcast.
No, it's really getting to be more of a term of, I've got content and I put it out to the public in some way, shape, right, or form.
Right. Yeah. Right. And that's really, you know, if you're looking into getting into podcasting, which is what chapter one is all about. Chapter one is ripping off the Band-Aid and saying, okay, we're going to create a podcast. Where do I begin? And the first thing you should do is really understand that the term podcasting has become very nebulous. It has become non-binary. It is no longer he or she. It is they. Podcast is a they. And I'm okay with that. I am all okay with that, because instead of taking this snobbish route, I personally think is that if you're podcasting and you're happy and they are a podcast, yes, Spence. and that's the beauty of watching podcasting evolve. If you're creating content, and that's the other thing I think is funny too. When Chuck and I started doing this, the term content creator didn't exist. It didn't. When you said you were a podcaster, people are like, oh, what's that? You know, now you say, well, I'm a content creator, and people go, ooh. But I mean, that's really what podcasting is at its core. And I would say the biggest, and I'd like to get your thoughts on this too, Chuck. Is video podcasting still a thing, or do you think streaming has actually replaced video podcasting?
I would say video podcasting is, if it's not extinct, it's very close or on the endangered species list. I haven't seen anything that comes across my RSS feed that has a video in it. So yeah, streaming either on demand or live has really replaced that. And I think there's more value to it in a way that, you know, live streaming often includes a chat element, whereas video podcasting did not, you know, so,
right.
And having that interaction with other people of like interest, or if you want to go and be a troll and bash on something while somebody's doing it live, you knock yourself out. But, I think there's more value in a stream, again, whether on demand or live, that, makes it more appealing, a little more attractive. You don't have the storage constraints, like, oh my gosh, I've got 5, you know, 1 gigabyte files that just came down. A, it took a long time to download them, and B, they take up some significant storage on my device that's only got 64 gig on it, and I've got, oh, this is just getting uglier as we go.
Yeah.
So,
I remember having to like burn. I have over my bookcase, I have a stack of CDs of some of the original podcasts from 2005, 2006. I'm sure I've got Technorama on there. I've got Jack Mangan's Deadpan. I've got all that stuff. I mean, and now, I mean, if you really want to go into the evolution of podcasting, I mean, now for 3 editions, the 800-pound gorilla was iTunes.
Yes.
And now the 800-pound gorilla is Spotify.
Absolutely.
And that just sums it up completely. That just sums up the evolution of the podcast, how it has now become.
It's not uncommon in the technology world to unseat the king of the mountain. It happens all the time. And we shouldn't be surprised if maybe someday Amazon is the 800-pound gorilla, or, you know, somebody we've never even heard of yet that's got a much better way of doing content distribution, maybe in a distributed model, so you can't be blocked from any one channel. So there's all kinds of other discussions we can have on here, but you know, Amazon wasn't even on the radar when we started writing this book earlier in 2020. And boom, there they are. Just last week, I found out there's two more directories in India. And one of my developer podcasts is huge in India. So absolutely, I'm going to jump on and make sure that my show is registered on those directories. So
it's Chuck Tomasi, everybody. He's big in India. So there you go.
I'm a developer. What can I say?
Yeah. So Freud.dev actually has a fantastic question. I'll throw it to you. Would you say the evolution has been podcaster to YouTuber, YouTuber to streamer, streamer to content creator?
Ooh, I was following that almost exactly as my evolution went until we got to content creator. And I think content creator is more of a general label of you make pretty much anything. It could be audio, could be video, could be written. You know, a content creator could be a blogger.
Could be all of the above.
So I wouldn't say that's necessarily the maybe from a historical perspective and growing in complexity, because you know, making an audio podcast is a lot less effort than putting together a full on stream. As I've found out from starting two or three streams, every one of them. Oh my God. I mean, not that starting a podcast is a trivial effort either. There's a lot to think about before you launch in terms of content, in terms of you know, where am I hosting this and registering domains and picking out bed music and all this stuff that goes into this that we get in the book. So we lay it out in a pretty pragmatic way that you can follow along. But it takes another level of complexity when you start involving the video element, as we've mentioned before. So that would be if I were just starting out and going, hey, I'd really like to talk to other people about culinary arts and then maybe get into showing them some of my recipes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. In fact, I just had this discussion earlier this week with one of my coworkers. He said, I really want to work on my personal brand. And he said, don't worry, I'm not going to wear a bow tie because that's what I'm known for at work. But I said, all right, what is it you want to talk about? And he said, I'd like to talk about our software in the federal space, you know, the government agencies and whatnot. I said, right. Great. I see an open space. Do you? You know, is there an appetite for the content? Do you think people would take it? And he said, yeah, I'd like to write a book. And I said, that's a bit of a risk for a lot of work, you know. Just having a book out there, A, it's going to take you probably 6 months to get the book done. It might be out of date by the time you get it done. I said, let's talk about possibly a podcast. You know, and I steered him towards leveraging a whole channel of podcasts that we've already got for our company. I said, take advantage of the audience that's already there. You know, even if you've got 500 subscribers in your first 6 months, you're doing pretty darn good, you know?
And the other thing is about the evolution of content creator. I think there's a difference in everyone's journey. I mean, for some people, the YouTube channel, whether they're streaming or whether it's a Twitch stream, could eventually go to podcasting, and then suddenly they start branching out as a content creator.
Yeah,
people I know who all they do is Twitch only, and they're doing streams there. There are some people who aren't streamers, but they're still content creators. And I think if anything changes, if anything really changes, I think it's more about the workflow that changes about everything. I mean, one of the things we go into in the book that not necessarily covered in chapter one is how streaming seamlessly fits into a podcast's workflow. And I think it's become easier for me as a podcaster now that I stream. For me, it's easier to stream than it is to actually podcast because with streaming, you know, like I've marked different spots. It's very easy for me to mark spots where I can say, okay, I want to isolate that for a clip and put it into a highlight reel. With podcasting, I have to listen and go, oh, I can cut that out. And then I have to make sure that everything fits properly. And then once I make it seamless, then I can go on ahead and then I listen to it one more time. It can take me maybe, a day to put together. If I have all my clips ready, if I have all my clips set aside, it takes me a day to make a highlight reel. For a podcast, it could take a day to 2 days because I'm constantly re-listening because I want to make sure it's seamless.
Yeah.
And that's, so I think really, the content that you're creating Well, first off, it's essential in deciding whether or not you want to have a podcast, because like Chuck was saying, without the content, you don't have a podcast. And you have to make sure that you can go beyond the base message of whatever the topic is that you want to podcast about, just for longevity. Now, it could be a one-off podcast where you get 12 episodes out and you're done. It could be one of these podcasts where like you're like, well, I want to break this up into different seasons. And I think that's something, it's something we talk about where part of the thing that you want to do with a podcast is that you want to make sure you have something that you want to put out media on a regular basis, mm-hmm. and you have something to say. Those are like two of the core values of deciding, do I want to do a podcast? And a core value is not to do a podcast because it's cool. I've actually had clients say, we want to do a podcast. And I go, why? And when they say, because it's cool, I'm like, you know what? So's playing video games. So's streaming. So's base jumping. So's bungee jumping. But guess what? Unless I have a purpose, I'm not going to go off and do it. You know, there have been several places where I would have loved to have started a podcast, but since I got Froy in chat right now, Froy and I used to work for an initiative called code.gov. And I would have loved to have started a podcast, but everybody on the team was super busy. And I knew that I had a limited range of what I could. So before you ever decide, hey, I'm going to launch a podcast, you want to make sure that you've got some of the core values in there. And the two are, you want to have a reliable release schedule. And the other one is you've got something that you have to say. You've got something that is on your to-do list to talk about with people.
Yeah.
What else would you say would be core values in starting up a podcast, or Chuck?
I just want to back up a little bit and say I'm really happy that corporate America now recognizes the content creator title or genre or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's huge.
Took a while.
Yeah.
It took a while.
It did. And, you know, when I can go to an employer and say, I am a content creator and I focus on this, and I've already produced, you know, umpteen billion videos on this, here's a URL. Go watch this channel. I've done audio podcasts. I've done live streams. You were talking about time, things that take time. The ones that take the longest are those highly edited and highly polished videos that I got to do.
Yeah.
You got to write a script. You got to edit the script. You got to know what's in the shot, especially if you're working with another team who needs to make the animations for the shot. It's like, oh my God, we did 18 videos earlier this year and it took over 6 months to get them out. And these things are maybe 4 minutes tops. And
video editing, as you discover, when people want to say, well, you know what, I want to go into video podcasting, I'm like, okay. And that's, and you know, mazel tov, but here's what you got to know about video editing. That's a rabbit hole.
Yeah, it is.
That is a rabbit hole.
Well, live streaming can be a rabbit hole as well. I mean, we talked on the last show about OBS and Wirecast and understanding the software and the layers and effects, and you know, it can be a bit of a rabbit hole as well. And as I said, you know, you can continuously tweak things and add new elements and go, oh, look what I learned. I want to use that so badly. You can go down that rabbit hole. Was there anything missing from, you know, should I start a podcast? You know, I think you hit the major ones. Do you have something to say? Is it valuable? Do you think it'd be valuable to the listeners? You know, if everybody's walking up to you going, you're funny, you should be on stage. Well, you're not going to be on stage in this COVID world right now. So maybe a podcast would be good for you. You know, start a comedy podcast.
Yeah. And it's true. When you're wanting to cross that line and say, I want to start a podcast. It's always, I mean, I know for a fact, Froy was starting up a podcast for Code for Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. I know that Spence, they do a series of podcasts, or if they're not doing their own podcast, they're doing podcasts for other people. And it's, you know, when you get into a podcast, it is a commitment. And as I like to say with a buddy of mine named Nick Kelly, he's a regular on this stream. He's mentioned often in this book. If you say, I want to start a podcast, Chuck and I will both say, all right, you got to think about that before you say that, because there's no such thing as starting a podcast.
You will find yourself starting about three of them in a couple of years.
Just come out and say it. I want to start podcasting.
Yeah.
That's a better way of handling it, because you know, the podcasts are also not also non-binary. They're also like Pringles. You can't just have one.
No.
You know, you just can't have one. And and Froy said, did a season of it. It was fun, frustrating, and a ton of work.
Which gets to our other point throughout the book that we discussed this a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah.
Podcasting is easy. Podcasting is hard.
Right. That was the hill I was going to die on. And now, Chuck, you know why I was willing to die on that hill, because Froy just said what I was saying.
Yep. It's a ton of work.
It's a ton of work. And yep. If it's frustrating, then okay. Yeah. You know, I mean, I get that, but if the fun outweighs the frustrating and you know, there's more there, Froy was like, it's like tattoos.
Like tattoos. That's why I'm not getting my first tattoo.
Yeah. I'll just make another podcast instead of a tattoo. Cause I'm just too, no.
Podcasting for me is less painful than getting needled.
That's true. That's very true. But anyway, it is frustrating. It can be a frustrating thing, especially when you run into, like, I know for a couple of episodes of Happy Hour from the Tower, for whatever reason, even when I was using bed music, and this is something we didn't touch on in the last episode, royalty-free music is now getting red flagged by the DMCA takedowns. That's how out of control it is at Twitch. There is now royalty-free music that Twitch is going, oh, you don't have the right to play that. I'm like, yes, I do. It's royalty free. But yeah. You have to make an appeal to Twitch. And I'm sitting here going, for Pete's sake. But anyway, when it came to that, one of the frustrating things for me was that I was using my stream for the podcast. And because I was dropping in the theme at the very beginning, that audio was getting muted. So then I had to literally go to past shows and cobble together a seamless sounding introduction. And then I could get into the meat and potatoes of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, there are a lot of different things, whether it's a technical issue or whether it's a content issue. But if the fun outweighs the frustration, then, you know, then maybe podcasting is for you. But Froy also sums it up. Get the first one out, plan the second. And you could say that not only about podcasts, you could say that about the season. You could say that about just about anything, about anything when it comes to podcasts. The important thing is that you have something relevant to say to your audience, right, and something relevant to your subject matter.
Well, that was a challenge that I had when I was launching an audio podcast for work this last summer. Like, I've already got, you know, 2, 3, 4 video avenues to address these people. And they cover the demos, and we do PowerPoints, and we've got open discussions, and some are rehearsed and some are not. And we really already got a pretty wide, a good variety of content. What could we do in this audio podcast? It almost feels more limiting not to have that visual effect when you're talking about software. I said, no, we're going to have those behind the scenes discussions with the product managers, with the customers, and how it affected their career, and just have those conversations. In fact, I kind of made a pseudo tagline out of this. I'll make it official at some point, where I say there's no demos, no PowerPoints, and no update sets, which are the vehicles we move software between. As we're not sharing anything visual or something you can replicate. You're just listening to a conversation between two buddies talking about their favorite feature or how they built this thing, or what the next conference they're going to is. So it really was kind of liberating but have a plan about what it is that show brings that nothing else does. Part of the reason I got into podcasting is because some of the earlier ones I was listening to, I went, well, hell, I could do better than that.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying. I mean, I mean, I know that before we launched Happy Hour, I said to the guys, I said, you know, why don't we just make our own Destiny podcast? And, you know, we were going back and forth on it. And one of our hosts, Brandon, the younger one, the teenager, he was like, do we really want to do this? I mean, you know, we're really not those guys. We're not Ninja with no L, not Glad. We're not Dr. Lupo. We're not that skill. And I go, that's exactly why we should do it.
Doesn't matter.
We should do it because we're not those players. We're playing this game because we love it. Those guys, they nitpick everything. They look for vulnerabilities. They look for strats. We're the ones going, guys, did you see that cutscene? Holy shit. It was cool. Yeah, you can bleep that out. Sorry, buddy. But I mean, it was one of those things where we're just nerding out over it. And people have said, that is not taking anything away from these other podcasts. People listen to Fireteam Chat. They listen to Crucible Radio. They listen to Destiny Community Podcast for those hard hitting deep dive strats. But I was also told they listen to Happy Hour because they just want to hear the sheer joy of people playing the
exactly.
game.
Exactly.
And that's our strongest feat. And so when you're and that's what we have to say. That's our message. It's in the title, Happy Hour from the Tower. I mean, done.
I'm looking at our section in the book called Deciding Whether Podcasting Is Right or Is For You.
Right.
We didn't say whether it's right for you. It sounds more like ask your doctor if it's right.
I know.
If your podcast is continuing for 4 hours longer, see please consult a physician.
We're not going in there.
No, we're not.
The subsections under that are, you want to deliver media on a regular basis. Okay. You want to reach beyond the boundaries of broadcast media. This is a global sport, and you will hear from people in Belgium and Sydney and Tokyo, and it's really fun to hear those people. The third one is, you might have something to say. Okay. You've got an opinion on something. You've got an idea. You want to be artistic. You want to be creative. You want to launch into, maybe you want to explore something you've never explored before and take the listener along with that journey. And you want to hear from your listeners, which kind of tied back to the geographical boundaries. But that was exactly what you were talking about, is when you start hearing back from those people, it feels like a community. In fact, it's gotten to the point, I was out walking with my wife this morning, and we were talking about, of all things, streaming and podcasting. And I realized on that walk that I don't think of our customers as customers. At least not the developer community anyway. They are my friends. Right. And there's always that region when you get introduced to somebody, and maybe they're a coworker or a colleague or maybe a customer, and you get to know them better over the years, and you go, at what point did they turn into a friend? I don't even think about it.
That's a great debate for another time, because I mean, you know, the term friend has been, you know, depending on who you talk to, has been devalued because of social media and things like that. And I know I have specific boundaries when it comes to, you know, who I define as a friend.
Sure.
One thing I will say, though, that I think that podcasting, that streaming, that social media on a whole has helped really develop is that sense of community.
Yes.
That sense of community. And that's and I where think I was part headed. Of what makes Absolutely. A community is that sense of trust. Like, I mean, I know Froy and I mean, we've developed a friendship over the years. And I know that Froy and I had talked quite a bit about podcasting and about things like that. And the way he described his experience, and this is again part of that community feel, is he took the discussions I've had, he took the discussions that he had with other people, and he basically spent with the Code for Puerto Rico, he spent a season of interviewing civic tech people. And the workload and probably the frustration part came into scheduling, writing questions, show notes. I mean, and this was all stuff I said, this is the stuff that you don't see, that we try to cover in the book. It's no different than with streaming. The real work isn't when you actually start recording or when you start streaming.
Nope.
It's all the stuff. It's all the prep before. Yep. It's the after show stuff. It's the in-between stream stuff that you're doing. And as much workload as that is, it is also, as Froy said, it's an incredible experience. And that's when you know, there's some people who'd be like, I produced a podcast, I will never do it again. And then podcasting isn't for you. But when you find a community that you start resonating with, whether it's a small tight knit community, whether it's a community in a larger whole, it's that sense of trust that, and that's what I try to not only get across in my streams, but you and I try to get across in this book, is that when you pick up this book, you can trust us, and that's the community of podcasters and the community of For Dummies, is that there's a sense of trust here, that you trust us to help you guide you through whatever you need to know about this particular medium, this particular platform. And it's you know, finding those voices that you trust, that's always that to me is a real tough thing, because as we've said, the landscape is constantly changing. Now I'm going to go on ahead and jump ahead, because we're closing in on the on the 30 minute mark, but on page 21 of chapter 1, we talk about there's an app for that. And we talk about all the various apps that are going on. We talk about who was once the 800 pound gorilla, now the old timer, which is actually a reinvented of the old timer. It's Apple Podcast. Now I've had mixed reactions with Apple Podcasts. I think it's when it's running, when it's not crashing on my iPhone, it's not a bad app. I think it offers a lot for analytics. But what I worry about with Apple Podcasts is that factor is you start to get lost in the analytics. It's kind of hard to, you know what I mean? It's kind of hard to say, when is it really necessary for you to know analytics versus when does it become an obsession? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what about you? I mean, what are your thoughts on Apple Podcasts as an app?
I used it for a very long time, from 2010 when I got my first iPhone 4 through about 2015, 16, I think it was. So about 5 or 6 years I was using that, and it was a fair app, and it did what I needed. You know, you subscribe to a podcast, it shows up, you listen, I'm good. What more do you need, right? If that's right. What you're looking for, hey, then it's not bad. It's free, it comes with your iPhone, go ahead, use it. Then I was introduced to some other ones. I can't remember what the one I used on the iPhone was now.
In 2010, I was using Stitcher.
Okay.
I remember 2010, I was using Stitcher.
And I think Minion Fogarty was mentioning that in Grammar Girl. And I said, I took a look at it, and it didn't really fit my need at that point. But
the thing I liked about Stitcher was how it interfaced seamlessly with my car.
Oh, nice.
Now, okay. Yeah. This probably won't come as a shock to anybody. For those of you knowing me and knowing my stances on the world look at things, I started driving green. Oh man, in 2012, and my first car was a Nissan Leaf, totally electric. Mm-hmm. And then we got we were so happy with the Leaf, we got a Chevrolet Volt, which it broke my heart when Chevrolet stopped making those, because the Volt, in my opinion, is a workhorse of a car. It is a fantastic car. It's still a fantastic car. But it's basically electric with a range extender. And part of the entertainment system that came with it was it had Stitcher already installed. So literally I plug in my phone, see Stitcher as my active app, it automatically interfaced.
Nice.
And I love that about it. And Stitcher doubled as a radio, as a radio app, as well as a podcasting. But then there was Overcast. And I think I was the one who told Chuck about Overcast. In the third edition, that became my app of choice for podcasts for a good long while, because the interface, the UI was absolutely brilliant. It recognized video podcasts, it recognized audio podcasts, it allowed me to decide which ones I wanted to ready up and load versus ones that were old. And I could say, okay, don't put those on my stream anymore. Where do I want to pick up from it? It was, I found it way more intuitive than Apple Podcasts. Had you have any experience with the, actually, here's one. That Freud just mentioned. He's been using something called Breaker. Do you know Breaker? I don't know Breaker.
I don't know Breaker. I've been on Pocket Cast since going to Android about 3-4 years ago.
Okay.
And Craig Stepp introduced me to that. And I just went, wow, this is way better than the Apple Podcast thing was. The one thing that it does lack that I just discovered when Evo Terra was talking about how he listens to so many podcasts effectively and culls the herd. He says, I make a playlist where it only shows the latest episode of every show.
Right.
And I went, I don't have a way to do that. I can make a list of the latest shows, but if something came out, you know, 6 months ago and I haven't listened to it yet, it's way down the list. So I don't really have a good way of saying, show me one of everything and make sure it's the latest one of everything. So I'm going to look at, you know, maybe Breaker does that. Maybe there's something else out there. So I think it's time for a change because I am getting a lot in my backlog right now and I'm not subscribed to that many. I mean, Evo's got like 137 shows he subscribes to. I've got about 12, you know, and I'm falling behind because the downside of becoming a content creator is you're going to spend a lot more time producing than you are listening now.
which is something that I don't know if we ever really cover that. And it's now what one of the things that Freud says about Breaker, which he really likes, it's a service that adds a social network aspect to it. You can follow the people and see what other people are listening to.
That's intriguing.
And you can suggest podcasts and episodes. That's pretty freaking
cool. That's intriguing. Cause
I like that. We're going to have to seriously take a look at Breaker.
Cause right now, a lot of the recommendations are word of mouth or you go on the directory and see what's popular. And I don't always go for what's popular. I go, if T says, hey, I think you might like this, I give it some cred. If there's a way we can tie our app together and say, you're using Breaker and I'm using Breaker and you know, kind of like, what's the beer podcast? Now I can't think of what it is.
The beer
the beer app.
Oh, you're talking about Untappd.
Untappd. Yes. Untappd. Yeah. It's like, ooh, T just had this chocolate stout. Ooh, I love chocolate stouts. What did you get?
And Nerd Girl. See, the thing I remember about Stitcher that, Stitcher incorporated something similar to Pandora and Spotify that if you really liked a podcast, if you really liked an episode, you could like it. And then Stitcher and, you know, and I think Overcast does this as well. Stitcher and Overcast, they create algorithms.
Yeah.
So they can suggest other podcasts. And one of the things I remember from Stitcher that I got was the way I heard it with Mike Rowe. I remember that was where I discovered it. And that I think is where I like to see some of these apps really start to, they start to develop and go, okay, they're listening to this, so we can recommend these and maybe this will appeal to that.
I would expect Amazon to have a handle on that in no time. They just got to get a few more adopters in there. But yes, definitely give me a targeted recommended list.
So Amazon has now come out with their own platform for podcasts now, correct? In the time of the printing of this book, correct?
Yes, they have a directory. We have submitted Podcasting to Dummies about a month ago. I don't know where the hell it is because it usually doesn't take that long, but we'll get
it. Yeah, but I mean, it is Amazon. It is Amazon. And that's where, you know, I think Apple Podcasts, old man. It's where Apple Podcasts is failing. They've been riding on the coattail of their recent success. And now Spotify has stepped up and Spotify's interface is just really untouchable. I do think Spotify does need a little work. I'll send you the screenshot for the show notes. But when it came to the icons that they were showing for recent episodes, I was like, this is the best you've got, Spotify. It was like a zoom in block of your show notes, like the opening of the show notes. And then in the bottom corner was a tiny little rendition of your show art. And I'm like, no, don't do it that way. No, it's terrible. It was not good. It was not a good idea on Spotify's part.
The web designer was off that day.
I'm not totally getting what they're doing there. But I do enjoy the, I do enjoy the Spotify interface, and I do think that it is a marriage made in heaven. The one thing that got going against it, though, is that if you want to dabble in video podcasting, which I personally don't recommend, because I tried that with Happy Hour from the Tower, and Spotify's one condition was, yes, you can go on ahead and you can come on to our directory. You can't have video episodes. It didn't take me long to go, all right, get those video episodes out of the pool. Let's go all audio. And I do think that was what makes Spotify, again, similar to what made Apple Podcasts predecessor iTunes, you know, the 800 pound gorilla for so long. Because I remember there was a, you know, quick history lesson, chat. There was an app that doubled. It was a podcast aggregator. It was also an RSS aggregator. And I absolutely loved this this app. I'm blanking on who created it and what it was, but I used it for years. And it was a terrific app, but you had to do like three or four steps to get the podcast subbed into it. And it was terrific. Then Apple came out and said, okay, here's our iTunes podcast. If you want to subscribe to a podcast, you click on subscribe.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the end of it. I do think that there are always new apps that are coming out, new platforms that are coming out. Now Amazon is stepping into it, and we'll have to see how Amazon fares up as a podcast vendor. And then of course you've got, you know, Google has stepped in with Google Play, so you've got Google Play in there as well. There are so many new ways now of consuming podcasts. I just think it's right now it's really what are your preferences, and I think there's every app is tailor made for somebody's needs. So I would say I'm still an Overcast / Spotify kind of guy. And Chuck, I don't know. I mean, have you been playing around with Amazon?
I have not. I mean, I looked at it. I went, okay, that's cool. You know, found my shows listed, favorited them, and went, yeah, but that's not where I'm consuming them right now.
Right. So I guess that'll be our homework for the next next big recording session is, Let's play around with the Amazon app and let's see what it brings us.
Sure.
Was there anything else that you wanted to say before we sign off?
No, that's we've run long again.
As you do. All right, Chuck. So take us out. All right.
If you want to find out more about us, you can go over to podcastingfordummies.com. Oh, I only needed one on that one. Let me back off the excitement on this thing. We're so excited to be done with the show. We hit the bell three times. You can find our book where you normally find your books, either hard copy, in person, brick and mortar, or on your favorite online website where you buy your books. Podcasting for Dummies, 4th edition. Get the one with the pretty woman on the front. That's the latest one. The earbuds you see behind me is 3rd edition. So a lot more about streaming and whatnot in the 4th edition. You can call us on the voice line if you want to get in touch with us. Leave a comment, questions you've got. We'll be happy to play them on the show. At least we'll listen to them and consider playing them. 703-791-1701. That last part should be familiar to all the Star Trek fans. So 703-791-1701. Or you can join us for one of these mega recording sessions live on Twitch at twitch.tv/TheTMonster. Get in on that, like Froy has been doing, feeding us content and making our shows run long. We love it.
Yeah, we do. We do. We love it. Thank you, Froy.
Podcasting for Dummies, the companion podcast, is protected by Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, share alike, United States 3.0 license. Find out more at creativecommons.org. For the T. Morris and me, I wish you all pod on.